Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Barbara Mikulski has represented Maryland and Washington since 1977, first in the House of Representatives and then in the Senate. Now she's retiring. Today, a conversation with one of the people who's vying to replace her. Delegate Kathy Chalega, the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate, joins me in the studio. Delegate Chalega has been in the Maryland House of Delegates since 2011, representing District 7, which includes parts of Baltimore and Harford counties. She's also Minority Whip. She's been endorsed by her fellow Republican Governor Larry Hogan, who enjoys a 70% approval rating. Will the Republican momentum in Maryland that began in 2014 continue in this unpredictable election year? We'll find out in 5 weeks. Today, Kathy Chalega is with me here on Midday. We'll get going right after these headlines. And good afternoon, everybody. Glad you are with us. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. The November 8th election is exactly 5 weeks from today. We'll be electing a president, of course, and many other important local, state, and federal races will be on the ballot as well. For the first time in decades, U.S. Senator Barbara Mikulski's name will not be on the ballot. She's retiring after representing our region first in the House of Representatives and then in the Senate since 1977. Today, the Republican nominee for that Senate seat, Delegate Kathy Chalega, joins me in the studio. Delegate Chalega represents District 7, parts of Baltimore and Harford counties in the Maryland House of Delegates. She was elected to that position in 2011 and reelected 4 years later. She has been Minority Whip since 2013. Before being elected as a delegate, Chalega was chief of staff for then State Senator Andy Harris. She also served as Harris's campaign manager for his successful bid to become a member of Congress. Ms. Chalega was also the legislative aide to two Baltimore County delegates, James Kelly and John Truschler. Before entering politics, she was a Baltimore City school teacher and a small business owner of a construction contracting company with her husband, Mark. They live in Perry Hall. They have two grown children. Delegate Chalega is running for the Senate against Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen, who has represented Maryland's 8th congressional district since 2003, and Green Party candidate Dr. Margaret Flowers. Delegate, it's delightful to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
This is great. I love being in studio with you, Tom.
So how'd you get interested in politics? You were running a small business with your husband. You had taught school. You had kids, you know.
Right. All of a soccer coach and all those things. When I worked in the legislature, it was very apparent that there weren't enough business owners in office. People who really knew what it meant to sign the front of a paycheck, how to balance a budget, the importance of employment, and the difficulties that employers, jobs creators really face. And so when the opportunity came in 2010, when the opportunity came in 2010, with an open seat, I ran and a very, very active primary. I was successful and then, of course, won the general. So I've been in Annapolis for just a term and a half, and it's absolutely true. There are not enough business owners in office, people who really understand what it means to sign the front of a paycheck. And I see it in my work in Annapolis on a regular basis where people are making laws and they really don't have that experience. They don't bring those ideas to the table. So we need more. If you're listening and you're a business owner, I encourage you, run for office. We need you.
So what do you find most gratifying about being in politics, about being in public service?
The best part of public service is helping people, bar none. I'll just give a recent example. So I've been interacting with the MLK Center, the Martin Luther King Center, and it's down in West Baltimore. And there's a wonderful man named Squeaky Kirk and his friend Carlos who run this center. They opened it on their own with their own money, their own time, their own effort, their own heart. And unfortunately, Baltimore City was going to close them down. And I got a call the end of August saying, Kathy, what can you do to help us? We got these citations, these violations from the city. We're a private. We're going to of course, you know, comply with all these things, but we need a little more time. And being able to make a call and get that center open so the kids have a place to go. They have GED classes. They give away food, 2,000 pounds of food a week.
Oh, good for you that you helped them out. I wonder, why did they call you? Are they your constituents?
No, but I've been working with them on some things. I was there yesterday planning a new fall garden with them, and just love what they're doing. You know, that is the heart of the city. That's how we're going to change the city. We need 100 more squeakies, 100 more of these rec centers where our kids have a safe place to go after school and in the summer. And our seniors, one day I was in there and a couple of senior citizens were in there. I think they were doing some computer classes, but they had a young girl. She looked like, I think she was in fifth grade. And they were giving her a little mentoring. She needed a little grandmaing. And so it was great to see that community interaction. And that's, you know, one of the things I'm passionate about.
Well, a lot of folks like yourself and even the person who's at the head of the Republican ticket for president, Mr. Trump, make a great virtue of being in business, of not being politicians. But every politician I ask what they like about public service, they give exactly the same answer you do. They love helping people. So what is fundamentally wrong with a person who has chosen to stay in politics for most of his or her career?
If they like helping people and they have the opportunity to do that as a politician. Well, let me just tell you, one of the best, most gratifying things as a small business owner is helping people. And we've had lots of employees, you know, we're in construction, Mark and I, 30 years. We've had a small general contracting business. And, you know, small business owners love their employees. I mean, almost across the board.
That's like family.
They're like family to you when you're a small business. And, you know, so somebody will come to work and say, look, I need tires for my truck. Can you help me? Small business owner says, you know what? Yes, we'll get you those tires and we'll take it off your paycheck for the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks. Or, you know, so I think probably it just is the essence of humanity, isn't it? That we love helping each other, and that is so gratifying.
If people in political life, like your opponent, Mr. Van Hollen, who's been in public life and in the Congress for, you know, a number of years.
25, sure.
Yeah. Is that too long?
Why is it?
Because if he gets the same kind of gratification of being able to help people from his perch in the U.S. Congress, and he's gratified by that, and so are you, I'm wondering what the argument is against being in public life
for
a long time.
Tom, that's a great question. And I would say there's two distinct roles, what you like doing at work and what your prime job is at work. So as a small business owner, we love helping people. But as a small business owner, our prime job is to keep people employed. Not helping them is great and the most gratifying part of it. Well, as someone who serves in public office as a legislator, you know, helping people is wonderful and it's part of what you get to do. But the most important thing you do is pass laws, right? I mean, that's what you're there for. So in the Maryland...
But the laws would putatively help people, wouldn't they?
Not always. And that's why I would say that we need more business owners in Annapolis, in Washington, D.C., because under the current administration, $743 billion worth of regulations have been passed. Ideas that, quote, help people, which really hurt people. So, I think I will tell you that Annapolis is a citizen legislature. It is a part-time legislature. Like many state legislatures, we go there for 90 days, and we're supposed to bring a profession and an experience and an outside job to the job. And unfortunately, Washington doesn't work like that. You are a full-time career politician. You know, that is your career. And so when you're there, you forget what it's like to run a business, to make a paycheck, to be involved in another vocation. You know, in Annapolis, you have hairdressers and realtors and, like me, people in construction and all kinds of backgrounds that bring a great flavor to lawmaking.
If you were elected to the Senate, would you self-limit your terms?
Yes, I have 2 terms. Absolutely. I challenge Congressman Van Hollen to do the same. I think you need new ideas and new people there. Look, I tell people all the time, Tom, if you think that Washington's doing a good job, if you think Washington's headed in the right direction, if you're happy with Washington, D.C., then you don't want to vote for me because I'm going to bring change. I want to go to Washington to change Washington. I don't think Washington is working. I think it's broken. I think there are a lot of problems in Washington. And I think it was my grandmother that said, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Well, that's what happens when you send career politicians back to Washington.
So if you go to the Senate, what are you going to be able to accomplish in the Senate to affect change? I mean, I don't think there's much disagreement at all that Washington is broken on both sides of the aisle. Folks have identified that as a problem for a long time. As an individual senator, one of 100, what can you do to change that?
Well,
culture?
One of the first things I want to work on are veterans issues. And my dad is a 20-year career Army veteran. I'm very proud of my dad's service. He served 2 tours in Korea and 1 tour in Vietnam. And I know, you know, how I'm an Army brat. I know the challenges of growing up in a military family and the pride that you feel for your family members that serve. And, you know, Tom, my heart breaks when I open the paper and read just in the last few days that the VA spent $20 million on artwork, $20 million. And they went, oh, yeah, that probably wasn't a good decision, when 3 days before that we found out that the VA wasn't answering the suicide hotline. They were letting those calls roll over to a third-party vendor. And I was at a veterans roundtable we had a couple weeks ago in Cambridge, and it was great to meet with the veterans. And one of the men, and now it was a Saturday, he dialed the VA's number on his phone, and they answered. And he said, this is basically what you hear when you call during the week, too. You know, an answering service, press 1 for this, press 2 for that. And then they said, if you need the veterans suicide hotline, please dial 8, whatever the 10-digit number was. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, we're not even direct connecting our vets? We can't do that?
Now, is the fact that a business person, Robert McDonald, who's the former CEO of Procter & Gamble, he's been running the VA for the last 2 years, and a Republican-controlled Senate and Congress has been overseeing the VA for the last several years. Is there a corollary between the fact that we have a business person there and the problems at the VA that you and others have identified still persist?
Didn't McDonald say waiting in line is like Disneyland? I mean, that was shameful that he said that.
So he's just
and
the wrong business
person? I would say just because you have a business background doesn't mean that you're going to be able to, you know, make those kind of changes. But I would point to Larry Hogan, who's doing a great job. And I would point to a bill that was passed in the Congress that said the VA can hold their employees accountable. You know, after we found out that there had been VA employees on the payroll for a year who hadn't showed up for work for a year, and all kinds of problems with people at the VA, but they couldn't hold them accountable, they couldn't fire them, and they passed a bill saying, you know what, you can do that, you can hold people accountable, and they fired 2 people, and one of them got a job in another department. So, you know, we need some real vital change. I don't think there is
Would
one
you support
person
firing Mr. McDonald. He's had 2 years to get things
Yeah,
fixed.
I think we should replace him.
What's your
Absolutely.
Time frame? What's a reasonable amount of time for people to expect
that
the VA get its act together?
Yeah, we have seen things not get better. I mean, when there's failure, again, $20 million on artwork, when we have vets that can't get a hold of a suicide hotline, when we have a, you know, article in the paper. In the paper, we're reading that these VA employees that are supposed to be answering the suicide hotline are taking 2 or 3 calls a day and then just letting it roll over to a third-party vendor. You know, who's holding them accountable? And so I don't think there's a person, I don't think you're going to find, you know, people that are going to stand up and say, oh, yeah, I think the VA is working great, because it's not.
So it
and
starts
eventually,
at the top, and you would support getting rid of Mr. McDonald and finding another business person.
I don't get to make that choice, do I? Even as a senator, I don't get to pick that person. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, let's,
All right. Well,
you
we'll,
know.
we'll talk about a little bit more about that, as well as a bunch of other stuff. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest today, Delegate Kathy Shalega, the Republican nominee for the Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Mikulski. By the way, you can listen to my interviews with Chris Van Hollen and Margaret Flowers on our website. Go to wypr.org/midday. When we come back after a quick break, we'll take your calls and comments. You can give us a buzz at 410-662-8780. You can drop us an email, midday@wypr.org, or send me a tweet @MiddayTomHall. It is midday. I am Tom Hall. We will be right back. Stick with us.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Looking ahead here on the broadcast, coming up tomorrow, analysis of tonight's vice presidential debate with Jenna Johnson, a reporter with The Washington Post who has been covering the Trump campaign for more than a year, Adar Ayira of the Associated Black Charities, and Republican speechwriter and consultant Richard Cross. That's all coming up Midday Wednesday. If you've just joined us today, my guest is Delegate Kathy Shalega. She's the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated in January by Senator Barbara Mikulski. That seat is also being sought by Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen and Dr. Margaret Flowers, the Green Party candidate. To join our conversation, you can drop me a tweet at @MiddayTomHall. You can send me an email, midday@wypr.org, or give us a call, 410-662-8780. Delegate, if you're elected and Donald Trump is elected, what can we expect? There are folks who would say that if Mr. Trump is elected, it would be better to have a divided government is a good thing, and it'd be better to have a Democratic counterbalance to a Trump presidency. If the two of you are elected, what happens?
Well, I think what you would find is that I've been an independent thinker my whole life, and this campaign has outline certainly highlighted the difference between Chris Van Hollen and myself. And, you know, I have called Donald Trump out on a few things that he's done and said, and I will continue to be an independent thinker. On the other hand, Chris Van Hollen has continued to stand up for Hillary Clinton and be a surrogate for her. He's never questioned, you know, her basket of deplorables comment or the emails or anything else that she's done. So, you know, I will be independent as I have been and call balls and strikes. And I think that's the kind of senator, regardless of who is elected at the top of the ticket, that Maryland voters should expect and should want.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to vote for Mr. Trump?
I've said from the beginning I support my party's nominee, just like I'm sure, you know, just like Chris Van Hollen supporting his.
Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of folks on the line wanting to get into the conversation. Lloyd joins us from Baltimore. Lloyd, welcome to Midday with Delegate Kathy Shalega.
Good afternoon, Lloyd.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add some clarification to something that this Republican candidate said a little while ago, which was something to the effect, I guess I'll have to paraphrase, Washington is broken and it would be insane to repeat what we've done in the past because it's obviously broken and we need to fix it. The clarification I want to offer is it's not Washington that's broken. Washington has been dysfunctional because of Republicans' lockstep obstruction of progress for nearly 8 years. And the insane thing would be to send any more Republicans there to do more of the same. Thanks very much. I'll take any responses off the air.
Thanks, right. Lloyd. Thanks for your call. And I would just like to point out to you that for the first 2 years of President Obama's term, the Democrats held the House, the Senate, and the White House. So, Lloyd, you are entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. So, you know, it has been divided, but not for 8 years. And, you know, I would point out to you the one measure when Democrats were in charge of all three bodies that they passed the Affordable Care Act, which has turned out to be not affordable. And they refuse to work on fixing that problem. So, Lloyd, you know, I appreciate your call, and we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, if memory serves, I think the ACA was actually passed after Republicans regained control of the Senate. And I'm foggy on the date, so we'll try to look that up. But let me ask you the opposite question from the one I just asked. If you're elected and Hillary Clinton is elected president of the United States, there are many people who point to Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and others who had a strategy of being, you know, in constant opposition to President Obama and not working with him as a strategy for maintaining Republican control of the Congress and the Senate. And lots of folks say, you know, it worked. I mean, including just this last midterm election. So if you're again, elected and there's a Democrat in the White House, how are the balls and strikes looked at in that lens?
The same way. So, you know, I will tell you I make a commitment to call balls and strikes. And I guess you could look back to when George Bush was president and have to make that comparison to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. So, you know, this is what's wrong with Washington. You get career politicians that dig in to their party corner and just throw bombs at each other. And we need some people that want to work across the aisle. As a Republican in Annapolis, I've learned how to do that. I have a great working relationship with Democrats and Republicans alike, and we have a very civil discourse there. And that's the kind of tenor that we need to bring.
And you expect that the discourse could become more civil in the Senate and the Congress?
Well, I think if you have people, elected officials, senators, U.S. senators, that are making a commitment to go and have civil discourse, you're going to get there. But when you have elected, you know, people running for office, like Chris Van Hollen, who's throwing bombs at Governor Hogan, you know, all I have to do is point to 81, which is a road out in Hagerstown, a very important interstate. And he put an article in the paper out there criticizing Governor Hogan and throwing, you know, bombs at him and said, you should have applied for this federal fast track funding. Well, it turns out that that project wasn't even eligible for that. So it was unnecessary for him to do that.
Bill joins us from White Marsh. Bill, you're on Midday with Delegate Kathy Shalega. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Great. How are you, Bill?
Yeah, I'd just like to say a couple things. One, I'm a retired military Gulf War veteran, over 20 years service. When I went to the VA to get my disability instated, it took 2 weeks of calling multiple times a day, not getting through. So I finally got so frustrated, I did call that suicide hotline, went through all the numbers, eventually got somebody who thankfully was able to help me obtain the information I needed. But the whole system is broken. I don't think people realize it's top to bottom. Even the new director, in my opinion, needs to go. And I'm quite thankful we have someone like you who's out there fighting for veterans' benefits.
Bill, I appreciate the call.
Bill,
thanks
for your service to our country. We appreciate you and we appreciate the veterans. And I am sorry that it took you that long. And it is a convoluted system. You know, I pulled up the information on the suicide hotline. And, you know, according to the AP, some workers had fewer than 5 calls a day and would leave before their shifts even ended as call volumes increased.
Yeah, I think anybody disagrees that the Veterans Administration needs to get fixed in a lot of ways.
Thank you, Tom. You're right.
But the question is how, and the question is in what way, and the question is a matter of time. Dale is on the line from the Eastern Shore calling, and he's he or she rather, excuse me, I don't know whether it's a boy Dale or a girl Dale, with some experience at the VA. Dale, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
It's a boy, Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Nice
Thanks
to talk
for
to
calling
you.
In.
I just wanted the audience to know that I've been complaining about the problem you were just talking about, where you call the VA 800 number and you're told to dial 911 in an emergency, and then you're told to memorize the number and call up the suicide hotline where you can press the digit for help, just like you said. But over the last more than 4 years, because by the time in the Eastern Shore, I had a Democratic congressman. I complained that the person on his staff in charge of Veterans Affairs. Then I got a Republican congressman. The first time I went to complain, I caught one of his employees just leaving and locking up their Eastern Shore office, and he basically blew me off. Then I've called a number of times, oh, probably at least twice, to Congressman Harris's office. I've got a staffer, and nothing's been done. And then I was calling one of our senators' offices for the very same, for some other reason, but at the end of the call, I said, by the way, this is going on at the VA. I said, this has been going on for, well, at least 4 years, because...
And Dale, it's obviously very frustrating. Do you have a specific question for the delegate?
Well, what I'm saying is it's not enough. It's not just a VA problem. It's a systemic problem. There was a show not too long ago where they spoke about the mandatory requirement for congressmen and senators to spend a certain number of hours a week raising money. And there was a very small number of bipartisan congressional people, I don't remember if they were senators or representatives, that signed on to a proposal to make it illegal for congressmen and senators to engage in fundraising. Their staffs can, but not them. And it got, I don't know, 6 votes, 8 votes. As long as the people you elect to Congress have to spend so much time raising money, they won't have time to oversee the rest of the government like it should be.
All right, let me ask the delegate about that. Your thoughts on campaign finance reform.
Well, first, Dale, thank you for your service to our country, and I apologize I'm sorry, the trouble that you've been having getting through to the VA, and as you've heard from Bill and Dale, that this is a problem, and we just need some people to roll up their sleeves and get this fixed. And I think it's just a problem.
We're going to leave this topic
sure,
now, but is there anything specifically that you'll be able to do to fix it better than Chris Van Hollen?
Sure, but we need accountability. So we need some people. He's been there 14 years. Matter of fact, he voted 2 weeks ago against a bill that would hold the VA, allow the VA to hold their employees accountable and protect whistleblowers. 2 weeks ago, he voted against a bill to improve the VA. So when you have a Congressman Van Hollen who won't even admit that there's a problem and support legislation to make the VA better, what's the definition of insanity? Expecting him to fix something he doesn't even believe there's a problem.
Delegate Kathy Shalega is my guest. She's running for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Senator Barbara Mikulski. You can join the conversation as well. We do have a number of folks waiting, but give us a call. We'll try to get to your call if we can. 410-662-8780. Midday at WIPR.org is our email address, and at Midday Tom Hall is how you can send us a tweet. You've said, Delegate Shalega, that one of the big reasons you got into this race was because of your dissatisfaction with the Iran nuclear deal.
Yes. And that's another problem coming out of Washington, D.C. When I talk to people, when I talk to young moms with young children across our state, they're worried about the safety of their families. They're worried about national security issues. And I just think that the Iran deal, the ink wasn't even dry on that deal. When Iran launched Iran launched ballistic missiles towards Israel and wrote on them, "Israel must be wiped from the face of the earth," in both Farsi and Hebrew. You know, we know what Iran's intentions are towards Israel. And we have as your U.S. senator, I pledge my support to Israel. That is our ally in the Middle East that we have an obligation to protect and support. And they were steadfastly against the Iran deal. And I believe that negotiating with Iran, who thinks Iran's going to keep their word? They're not going to keep their word. And in the meantime, $1.7 billion in cash, taxpayer money has gone to Iran. I'm sure that's going to be funding terrorist activities. They're the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world.
So given the fact that this agreement has been signed, given
yes.
the fact that it is now in effect.
And the money's
looking
gone.
Looking forward, what should we do? I mean, should we negate that deal? Should we abdicate from that agreement, which we signed with a number of other countries? What's the next step? Would you get rid of that deal? And if so, what would the consequences
of
that
be? Well, where is the accountability on that deal? So we need to force the inspections. We need to renegotiate the deal. I mean, who is allowing time to pass? Why don't we have unannounced inspections? Why was that not part of the deal? That the inspections have to be announced and ahead of time. And, you know, there's, of course, we're not getting $1.7 billion in cash back. That's not going to happen. Taxpayers sent that money over. Was it ransom? Well, yes. I think if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. When you have a deal saying that, you know, wheels up on the plane with the hostages and then the cash is headed your way, to me, that's a ransom. And I think that's bad foreign policy. That makes Americans abroad less safe.
For the record, of course, the Obama administration has suggested that that was a payment of money that both countries had agreed was owed to Iran of longstanding, and that they claim that there's no linkage between that and the nuclear agreement. Speaking of, I was, in fact, incorrect. I want to fact check myself. The ACA was signed into law on March 23rd, 2010. At a time where there was a democratically controlled Senate and House. So
yes, it was a partisan vote. Not one single Democrat voted against, not one single Republican voted for. And I'll remind your listeners, you had to pass the bill before you could read it. And it was so lengthy and convoluted and really, you know, one of the many problems.
Would you repeal it?
I think at this point, it's collapsing upon itself because you have insurers pulling out. You know, many states are left with just one option. If Evergreen Health, the co-op here in Maryland, which is in serious financial trouble, and if they are have their charter revoked, rural people in Maryland will only have one choice.
How would you fix the healthcare dilemma in the United States?
Well, there obviously were some issues that healthcare needed reforming, but we, you know, I think we took a sledgehammer instead of a fly swatter to fixing this, and we've completely upended our healthcare system. Doctors are unhappy. Physicians, healthcare providers are spending more than half of their time filling out paperwork instead of treating patients. So, you know, you have that problem with healthcare providers. You're supposed to be able, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. It turns out if you like your doctor, you can't keep him or her. You know, it's going to be affordable. It turned out not to be affordable. We have double-digit increases. I mean, my son and daughter-in-law have, and when you gave the bio on me, that was wonderful, but you guys forgot the best part, which is our little granddaughter, Avery. And
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I bet Avery is cute.
Oh, she's adorable.
There you
she's
go.
Of course.
I was just guessing.
That was an easy guess. All the grandparents listening know that's like the light of our lives. But, you know, Steve called me and he said, Mom, my health care premium for myself, my wife, and my child is $1,000 a month. They're 29 years old. I mean, this is not affordable.
So again, how would you fix it?
Well, we have to go in and put some free market applications and principles into what we're doing.
Is the so-called public option one that appeals to you?
And I will tell you that of all the people running for of a major party running for United States Senate this cycle, Chris Van Hollen is the only Democrat or Republican advocating for a single-payer system, and that is not the answer. Look, we're just talking about the VA and their health care. I certainly don't want to let the government run everybody's health care. They're doing a pretty terrible job. Let's not expand that.
All right. We'll talk about health care a little bit more, as well as a number of other issues. We'll do our best to get to your calls after a break. More with Delegate Kathy Shalega. She's the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate. You can give us a call at 410-662-8780. You can send us a tweet at Midday Tom Hall or an email midday@wipr.org. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us today. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Delegate Kathy Shalega is my guest today. She has represented Baltimore County and Harford County in the Maryland House of Delegates since 2011. We're taking your calls and questions at 410-662-8780. At Midday Tom Hall is how you can tweet us. Midday@WIPR.org is how you can drop us an email. Delegate, a couple of things. Folks fact-checking as they're calling in. This is from a woman who wishes to remain anonymous. She says the Suicide Prevention Veteran Crisis Line is the same number, not two separate ones, as the candidate is trying to convey. You press 1 to reach the veterans line, not dial a whole new number. I have referred many veterans to that line and have had great success in connecting them to the appropriate resources. We have that number and we'll post it for you. So she says that. And the thing about the Iranian payment in cash to the Iranian government, which did coincide with the signing of the nuclear agreement, a caller says that that was not taxpayer money, that that was money that was Iranian assets that had been frozen in U.S. banks and that they were unfrozen and given back to Iran.
And we'll agree to disagree on that, because certainly I would have given Iran a bill for many, many, many things that, you know, expenses taxpayers have incurred over that time period. And of course, the interest is a separate category there. But I'd like to go back to that comment on the VA line. So Saturday, when I was in Cambridge at the Veterans Roundtable, one of the veterans dialed the number. And I heard it myself. And it said, if you are trying to reach the suicide hotline, dial 1-8, whatever the number was. I'm not going to make it up. Whatever the number was. It did not say press 1 to connect to the veterans hotline. So, what you know, whatever
they got the wrong number,
whatever number the veterans on the Eastern Shore are dialing in Cambridge, it does not direct connect you. And I'm glad to hear. That's great to know that there are other lines that do direct connect, because I was actually quite troubled by that problem.
Got a couple other folks interested in this issue of veterans. Brett joins us on the line from Hamden. Brett, welcome to Midday with Delegate Kathy Shalega.
Hey, Brett, my kids live in Hamden. It's a great spot. Love it.
Yeah, it really is. My question today, Kathy, is about Trump's recent comments about soldiers with PTSD. He inferred that they might not be as strong as others, and that they're probably, like, I think the quote was weak. My question is, I'm sure you don't agree with that, but would you be willing to increase spending in soldiers with PTSD if it meant raising taxes?
I do not know the comment you're speaking of, so I'm sorry, and of course I would disagree with the way you characterized it. That's terrible. And, you know, I was interested to learn that we spend more money on the VA than we do the Marine Corps. So we do need to get services to our veterans. And we find out that we have people on the VA payroll that haven't showed up for work in a year. We find out that, you know, we have these folks that are taking, quote, five calls a day and leave before their shift ends. We need accountability in the VA.
So you think that there's enough waste, fraud, and abuse in the VA to get rid of that? You'd save enough money to be able to allocate that money more effectively?
I would say.
Or would you agree, or would you support legislation that increased funding for the VA?
Oh, of course. We need to look at all of the above. I mean, I am committed to our veterans. I will tell you that the VA's Palo Alto healthcare system spent more than $6.4 million on artwork and other furnishings, including two sculptures that cost nearly $500,000. You know what? That money should be spent on our veterans. And I'll tell you what kind of artwork I love. That would be artwork done by our kids in school. Can you imagine walking into a VA and having school kids coloring on the walls? And you know,
especially
that
if the kids get $500,000, that would be great.
They would do it. They would love to donate their artwork. Why do we need a $500,000 two sculptures for our? You know, our veterans need these important PTSD. You know, help with these real issues that are before our veterans. So, yes, we need help there.
Let me ask you about the woman that you are vying to replace in the Senate. She's an extremely popular senator, Barbara Mikulski. Explain how your approach to the job of being a senator would differ from Senator Mikulski's.
Well, one thing I say, let's put a younger, taller Polish girl from Baltimore in the Senate. So
there's a bumper sticker. Kathy Shalega, younger and taller.
Younger, taller Polish girl.
I've certainly been called worse.
There we go. You know, Mikulski, Shalega, we both have the same challenge with people saying our last name. Luckily, she's Barbara and I'm Kathy, so people remember our first names. You know, I bring a lot of that same blue-collar work ethic to the job that she does, that, you know, roll up your sleeves and get things done. And, you know, that I'm happy and proud that I would continue that tradition. Somebody from the Baltimore region that really cares about our city, that knows that we've got some problems and we've got to work together to straighten them out. So, you know, that I would bring. And, of course, I'm taking a two-term.
But in terms of policy.
Sure.
I mean,
so we disagree.
I would imagine you disagree on a
sure.
bunch.
I mean, I would have voted against the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, we can start there. And, you know, I'm sure we can find other policy issues that we'll disagree on. But you know what? I'm happy to send Barbara Mikulski out on a retirement on a high note. She's done a great job for Maryland. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick and criticize her. I think people, you know, really, especially in the Baltimore area, really appreciated all the things that she's done over her lengthy career.
It's Delegate Kathy Shalega. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. We're going to go back to the phones. Lorenzo joins us from Baltimore. Lorenzo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Hey, Lorenzo, and, how are you?
I'm good. And I hope you're good also.
I'm great.
Listening to you, and I've got a specific comment, but I can't help but also comment on the fact that, like a lot of Republicans, you seem to be interested in relitigating the past. I mean, tearing up the Iran deal and getting rid of Obamacare. I mean, those are the hot button issues that, I mean, obviously they sound good, but they're probably more difficult to do than you're letting on. Also, with the VA, I used the VA a few years ago. I'm a veteran. I had never used it. I had to use it a few years ago when I was out of health insurance, and they were awesome. They were really awesome, and they got me through a period of time that could have cost me a lot of money. So I'm sure they've got problems. It's an easy thing to pick on, and like any government agency, it can be improved. But I think you should be careful on dogging them out too bad. But my point was in your earlier comment about supporting your party's nominee. First of all, I'm African American. I'm a businessman. I probably think more like a conservative Republican than a lot of Democrats. But one thing about Donald Trump, which is very, very, very disturbing to African Americans, and you can take a look at the latest poll, 95% of them are against him. The biggest thing that's just so disgusting about him is that he espouses racist views. He has had obvious racists support him in his crowds. He is connected himself with the alt-right group, which, as you know, is a white supremacist group. His campaign CEO who has bragged about how Breitbart was the sounding board for the alt-right. And I know that the media is doesn't want to label Donald Trump a racist because it just is not polite to do so. As an African American, I could tell you I know what racism looks like. I know what it feels like. I know what it smells like. I know how it just rots your insides and how it affects your family and your children. I know what it's like. And he is a racist.
Now, Lorenzo, do you want to pose a specific question to the delegate?
How could you possibly open your mouth to say you'll support someone like that?
All right, thanks for the call, Lorenzo.
Thanks, Lorenzo.
This does bring up a notion, and we've found here at Midday, it's difficult to find Republicans in Maryland who will come out in support of Mr. Trump. I mean, many of them say they report Republican principles, Republican conservative values, but they don't support that candidate. I mean, what should voters infer about your judgment if you're going to support Donald Trump?
Well, Lorenzo, first, I want to thank you for your service to our country. I want to thank you for being a veteran, and I appreciate, and I'm really pleased to hear that you got good service at the VA. That's very important. And, not everyone universally has a bad time at the VA. It's just overall dissatisfaction has been quite high. And, as I've met with these veterans across the state, a couple roundtables we've had, it's really heartbreaking to hear the troubles that they're having. But Lorenzo, thank you for your service to our country. I am not running for president. I am not campaigning for anybody but myself. I am running for United States Senate. So I just want your audience to hear that loud and clear. And I'll repeat what I said in the beginning. I have called him out. I don't know of the group that Lorenzo speaks of. I'm not spending any of my time researching, defending, approving, anything other than Kathy Shalega for U.S. Senate. And I've got my hands pretty full in the state of Maryland, running from Western Maryland to Southern Maryland, the shore. And so,
Of your path to victory.
Sure.
Donald Trump is behind in the polls against Secretary Clinton by about 33 points here in Maryland. There is a 2-1 Democratic to Republican advantage in the state. If a voter says, well, I can't vote for someone who is supporting a candidate that has very little support here in the state of Maryland, is that a fair assessment on the part of that voter?
I think you're making stuff up, Tom. So, I'd like to tell you that I've met thousands and thousands and thousands of voters in the 11 months I've been running for United States Senate. And I think people appreciate an independent thinker. So, you can have a magic eight ball and ask me all kinds of what if, questions. But I'm here to run for U.S. Senate. I'm not campaigning for anyone but myself. And yes, you make a point about Maryland's constituency, but I will tell you what I'm hearing as I travel across the state. People are very upset with Washington. They feel like their wages have been flat for 10 years. Washington's been picking winners and losers, and American middle-class families are never on the winning side. I'll point specifically to Eastern Baltimore County, Essex, Dundalk. That's probably five Democrats to every Republican. And in 2014, Republicans won every seat there. The councilman, the state senator, and the three delegates are all Republicans. So, you know, I think it's media pundits that like to put us all in a box and, you know, talk about things in those terms. But, you know, that is not who I am. I'm an independent thinker. I will call balls and strikes. I have a record of doing that. I am a small business owner. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandmom. And I want to go to Washington and fix what's wrong there. I think there's a lot of things that are not going well for America because of the policies coming out of Washington, D.C. So if you're, Tom, if you and your audience are looking for somebody who's going to be a steady Nancy Pelosi Democrat vote, as Chris Van Hollen's been for his 14 years in Congress, then you want to vote for Chris Van Hollen. If that's what you're looking for, someone who you don't even have to open up the paper to see how they voted, whatever Nancy Pelosi says, that's how he votes. That's who, then he's your guy. I'm not your candidate. But if you want some change and you think Larry Hogan's doing a great job, he's a businessman that we put in office, his approval ratings, he's the highest or second highest most favorable governor in our whole country. And that's because he's not talking about these partisan issues. You know, he's saying, let's roll up our sleeves, let's work together. We need to fix some things, and, you know, we need to apply some business principles. We need some folks that aren't part of the problem, but some outside voices to make some changes.
And a couple of folks who are calling are making the point, we probably won't have time to get to them, but they're making the point that, in fact, Mr. Hogan has been very independent in his thinking, calling his balls and strikes to say he's not going to support Mr. Trump. We have one caller saying that, you know, many more people would support you if you were to denounce Trump. Again, it has to do with this independence, and it's a tough, you're in a tough spot because he's not a popular candidate here in this state.
Right, but I'm, you know, again, I'm not running for president, nor do I ever want to.
We have time for just one more call. We're going to talk to Joe in Baltimore. Welcome to the show. We got to make it kind of quick, Joe. Thanks.
Hello. Hey, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
How you doing? I was the one that said you should, if you are serious, and if you are telling the truth, you need to deny. You said you call balls and strikes. The caller earlier told you who Trump was. If you can't see who Trump is and have the courage to denounce him, you don't deserve to go. You'll become part of the problem.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for your
call.
Sorry,
thanks. You and Lorenzo should meet over in Hamden at Fresh Market and have some of those wonderful French fries they have over there. But you know, look.
Do you think folks will make a different choice for president than they do for Senate?
I do. Mm-hmm. I think that Hillary Clinton is a career politician herself. And so there's, I don't find a great satisfaction with either candidate. As I've traveled across the state, I rarely find someone that, you know, is all in for one candidate or the other. Oftentimes, they're people voting against.
Indeed.
I don't love this one or that one. I'm voting against the other one. And, you know, again,
and
I'm not running
for president.
The clock
is working against us, and we appreciate your time. That's all the time we have.
Great. Well, thanks,
terrific.
Tom.
Thanks for having
Thank you
for coming on.
Thanks
appreciate
for having me in.
Delegate Kathy Shalega is the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate. She's represented District 7, Baltimore and Harford counties in the Maryland House of Delegates since 2011. Election Day is just 5 weeks away from today. Early voting starts October 27th. The deadline to register by mail or online is 2 weeks from today. The deadline to register in person is about a month from now, November 3rd. Thanks for your listening. Thanks for your calls and your emails. Thanks also to Joe Squared for providing lunch for our guest. Joe Squared serves coal-fired pizzas, risotto, and local craft beers. Locations and hours at joesquared.com. That'll do it for us today. Coming up tomorrow on the broadcast, we'll break down the Republican and Democratic vice presidential debate with a great panel. I hope you can join us for that. NPR's live coverage of that event starts at 9 o'clock here on WIPR. By the way, the Orioles are also playing a do-or-die one-game wild-card playoff against the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto. That is why God made radios, ladies and gentlemen. You can listen to the debate on WIPR while watching the Orioles on TBS. First pitch, 8:08 tonight. I'm Tom Hall on behalf of the entire Midday team. Thanks so much for listening. Glad you've been with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Go O's.
Go O's.
Have a great day.